You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. And Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend.
All right, our next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll talk about Tuesday's trade deadline, some more brutal injuries in this 2020 season, a little Survivor, fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. But Dave, before we get to that, brother, you got a tasty nug for the peoples?
I do, Casey. In fact, it is this. At least one team has come back after being down by 13 or more points in each of the first 8 weeks. And
wow,
at least one team has overcome a 16-point deficit to win the football game in 7 of the first 8 weeks. Crazy comebacks, dude.
How can you be so sure, Dave?
I saw so many of them firsthand with my Los Angeles Chargers, Casey. I lived them. And I was unable to sleep.
I know. So brutal, dude. Oh, my God. All right, well, let's get to it, Dave. The trade deadline has come and gone. We thought we might see a little more action, but it was pretty quiet, though.
Yeah, I mean, a handful of them came down, you know, but Desmond King from the Chargers, he was out of rotation with their secondary. He goes to the Tennessee Titans for a six-rounder. I think that's a great pickup for the Titans. They needed some help in the secondary there. Also, Titans signed Vic Beasley to a one-year, $9.5 million contract last March, dude. It never panned out, and now he's out of there. They're giving him the boot, dude. Cut.
Brutal.
Man.
And the 49ers trade linebacker Quan Alexander to the Saints for Kiko, the legend of Kiko, baby, is growing.
Grow. Yeah.
And a conditional fifth-round pick.
Nice. Steelers acquiring linebacker Avery Williamson in exchange for a fifth-round pick as well, Casey.
Yeah, and the Seahawks getting a little help with that pass rush. They got Carlos Dunlap from the Bengals in exchange for B.J. Finney and a seventh-round pick.
Yep, and the Lions acquire Cowboys defensive end Everson Griffin. Of course, he got him for just a six-rounder, Casey.
Yeah, and so you know, not a whole lot of action there on the trade deadline there. I thought we would see a little more, but you know,
Casey, with
something's
the
better than nothing.
I think the COVID, where you have to hold another say week or something, and then also next year knowing that cap is going down, I think teams are just a little bit gun shy, you know.
Makes a lot of sense. Dave, lost in all this mix, a rookie quarterback made his first NFL start last weekend.
Who could you possibly talk
about? Of course, I'm talking about Ben DiNucci. Yeah, Ben DiNucci of the Cowboys. They announced on Tuesday that Cooper Rush and Garrett Gilbert will compete to see who gets destroyed by T.J. Watt and the Steelers. So the DiNucci era, one and done, bro.
That was a whole lot of DiNucci, man. A whole lot of DiNucci. Too much DiNucci.
And, of course, we're talking about Tua. It was Tua time in Miami, Dave. They did get the W, but not great numbers for Tua. But, like I said, he got that dub.
Yeah, no doubt. And they got him some snaps. So it didn't fall on his shoulders this week. You know, they had the special teams and the defensive touchdowns, and the Rams just kind of collapsed. And Tua gets his first win in his first start. So that's pretty impressive.
Well done. All right, Dave, let's get to some injuries in the NFL. A couple big names.
Big one for the Ravens, dude. Obviously, left tackle, the Notre Damer, Ronnie Stanley, and he is out, dude. He has an ankle injury. That is done for the season for him. Lucky for him, he just signed that big old extension, almost $100 million on 5 years. So, bummer, though, to a team that leans on the run. There goes your left tackle. That guy's a huge factor there.
Speaking of teams that lean on the run, even more bad news for the Niners, dude.
Dude, Jimmy G and Kittle both out for a spell of time and very possibly the rest of the season. This Niners team is absolutely snake bit. They've got the injury bug like nobody.
Man, Super Bowl hangover deluxe. All right, Dave, I want to hit this real quick. Trying to find some positives for the COVID. Mm-hmm. And the NFL's got a couple of contingency plans, and a couple of these are not sounding too bad to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they would love to just finish the season off with no further delays, but the COVID is popping up here and there, and it seems likely that we are going to get at least one other postponement. If that's the case, they're fine with just adding an 18th week to the regular season. They just shift back everything, and they'll be still able to have the Super Bowl on the same weekend as planned. The extra plan is if for some reason they can't make up all the games, and there's a couple of teams, maybe two or three, or maybe it have to be an even number of teams, but that don't play a full schedule, don't play a full 16, then the NFL is looking at the concept of expanding the playoffs to 16 teams, because conceivably a team that has played 16 games is going to be competing with a team that's played 15 games for a spot, and it starts to get a little weird there if you're edged out by a team that didn't play a full schedule, you know?
Yeah, dude, we're getting the extra wild card this year anyways, but I'm all down with this. Even if they get to play the full thing, give me the 16 teams. I am in, bro.
Yeah, and there's a little money involved, too. As always, Casey, the answer to your question is money. There will be some additional money if there's a couple more playoff games, baby. So that's something exciting.
All right, speaking of money, Dave, it is time for Survivor, our three strikes pool. How did you do last week?
I took the team playing the Jets. My strategy continues to pan out. It was the Chiefs this time, and they demolished them.
Yeah, well, I went with the strategy of take whoever's playing the Cowboys, so I went with the Eagles, and it was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, but the Eagles ultimately prevailed.
Yeah, what about the most popular correct pick, Casey? Most popular incorrect pick? It was the Buccaneers over the Giants for the most popular correct pick. How about the most popular incorrect pick with the Tennessee Titans over the Cincinnati Bengals? Didn't see that upset coming, and neither did a lot of people. Heading into next week, Casey, it's, of course, whoever's playing the Jets. This week, it's New England. Most popular pick heading into next week, New England over the Jets.
All right, Dave, let's get to our fantasy go-back starts of the week. How'd you do?
Dude, I had four players unavailable, two due to injury, two due to bye, but I was clean. Of course, I only had one bench guy, so I was fine. I ended up squeaking by with a W, and my strategy move of the week was picking up Indy running back Hines. He had a big two-touchdown game and overcame the Amari Cooper 0.5, and it almost did me in.
Ooh.
Yeesh.
Yeah, dude, my foul boys totally smoked the Green Bud Packers.
Nice. I smoked them last week, baby.
They're just so fun to smoke, dude. And even though I did have the high score in the league at 118.84,
nice.
I did play the wrong side of the Pittsburgh Steeler receiver there. I went with Deontay Johnson this week instead of my guy Claypool, and that cost me a net of about 8 points. But like I said, the Green Bud Packers were no challenge for me, so I just moved.
You lit them up.
Right along. That's right, baby. Cashed them right there on the playing field. All right, Dave, let's get out of that fantasy realm, and let's get into reality, baby. Dave, last week, 7 of the 14 games in Week 8 were within one score of the last possession. Wait, if last week was Week 8, that means this week is Week 9, Dave.
Dude, Week 9? It's slipping away.
Oh, my
slipping
God.
Away, we're past, man.
Halfway point, dude. I can't handle it.
Oh, my gosh.
At least we get a killer Thursday night game, bro.
Yeah, it is. The Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers, dude. And, wow, what a game here as the Packers are favored by 2.5 and the over-under is 51.
Yeah, a rematch of the NFC Championship from last year, and those Packers coming off an embarrassing loss to the Vikings, where Dalvin Cook went off for over 200 yards and four touchdowns, man. And you know that game killed a lot of people in the three strikes or survivor leagues. But speaking of running backs, the Packers have placed Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon and linebacker Kamal Martin on the COVID-19 list. So they're running super thin on running backs there. Uh-huh. They think they're going to get Aaron Jones back. He's been limited this week, but that's no certainty. So if he can't play, it's going to either be Tyler Irvin or practice squatter Dexter Williams. So maybe if you're looking for a streamer, I'd watch that game on Thursday night. But geez, getting thin back there. And speaking of thin, at wide receiver, dude, after Davante Adams, who is one of the best in the league, they just can't get any consistency. And moving up to this trade deadline, there was talks of Will Fuller, but nothing ever became of it. Think of that mixture. Oh, my God, that would be so sweet for the Packers. I think Aaron might like that one a lot. And then you flip it over to defense, dude. Only 4 turnovers created this season, man. That's just not enough for the Pack. They're not getting it done. We saw what Dalvin Cook did to him last week. Fortunately for them, they're catching San Francisco at the right time. I'm sure you're going to get into that. But, you know, getting the Pack after a loss is usually bad news for whoever they play.
Yeah, dude. Well, San Francisco, you talked about it. I mean, we mentioned it at the top of the show. Jimmy G, George Kittle, very likely out for the year, certainly out for the foreseeable future. This is just the walking wounded, dude. This IR list continues to grow absurdly. They've got 3 running backs out on IR, including Mostert, you know, and Tevin Coleman. Wilson came and went in a flash. So it's down to Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon. So we'll see how those guys can put it together. But at wide receiver, Deebo Samuel's injured. Dante Pettis recently cut. So it was rookie Brandon Ayuk had a big game, 8 catches and 91 yards and a score in week 8. And then there's Kendrick Bourne. And after that, I mean, it just drops off to just guys that you just don't even know what they're capable of. So San Francisco defensively, 6th in total yards and 10th in points per game. So they're strong defensively, and they're 4th in the NFL against the pass, which is going to help them in this game. But, I mean, I don't know, man. They're going to have to hold the Packers hardly any points with that offense that they're fielding there. Fred Warner is on the defense. He's kind of the heart of that defense as a tackling machine. They got some seriously talented D linemen, but good luck there.
All right, Dave. Up next, we got the Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. The Ravens are 4-point favorites over 44.5. And Dave, it was the Colts who played in Baltimore from 1953 to 1983 before they left and before the Browns went to Baltimore. So,
revenge?
Weird. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll tell you, Casey, Baltimore's coming off a disappointing close loss to Pittsburgh, and that's got to, you know, eat at him a little bit. So bad news for Indy in that respect. You're getting an angry Ravens squad. But Lamar, you know, this team has obviously been a run-first team, but Lamar has not played nearly as well this year overall, both running and more particularly passing, as he did last year. He's just over 61%, just, you know, a 94 rating, which, you know, I mean, it's okay. But, you know, just not really lighting it up through the air at all. So their offense is 20th in total yards, and they're 2nd to last in passing yards per game. So there you have it. They did run the crap out of the football, 265 yards last week against Pittsburgh. Wow. And they're an awesome running team, but it's tough when you're in the NFL and you're just one-dimensional, you know, and this is a really good Colts defense they're going against. So, in fact, Lamar Jackson leads the team in rushing. That's not a good sign. Even though you love to have a dynamic running quarterback, man, it is not good. Mark Ingram out last week, status unknown moving ahead into this week, whether or not he'll be good to go. Gus Edwards did have a good game with 87 yards. I mean, they ran like crazy last week, 87 yards and a TD for Edwards. Dobbins put up his best game ever with 113 rushing yards last week. So they still, obviously without Ingram, it didn't miss a beat running the football against a damn good Pittsburgh run defense. But not enough productivity out of the receivers. Marquise Brown, their deep threat, only 2 touchdowns on the year, dude. He had 1 last week. So, I mean, just not the productivity you hope. Snead is coming off a 100-yard game. And then, of course, Boykin is there. He had a TD catch last week, too. And Andrews is sort of that tight end there, is their real go-to guy at, you know, receiver, as receiving tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, this defense is strong, though. Seventh in total yards, second in points overall, and 12 takeaways on the year to create a plus-5 ratio. They've got name players in there and really, you know, strong, talented guys. But cornerback Marlon Humphrey is on the COVID-19 list, and he had 7 high-risk contacts. They're all missing 5 days heading into this game, and all of them are on defense, including Matthew Judon and Patrick Queen, the linebackers. I mean, these are all defensive players. I don't know if they'll get on or what the status of them is up in the air right now, dude. There's a lot of, you know, question marks here.
Man. Well, let's flip it over to these Colts here, Dave. It's pretty simple. When Philip Rivers avoids the catastrophic mistake, they're a really good team and win most of their games.
Yep.
That's basically what it boils down to. T.Y. not putting up typical T.Y. numbers. He's still their leading receiver, but the bad news is he's only got 251 yards on the season, 0 touchdowns.
Wow.
So got to find more production for T.Y. Zach Pascal, he's coming on. And Rivers really likes to work his tight ends, and he's got a stable of good ones there, plenty of options there. Mm-hmm. You mentioned him earlier, Hines, dude, in your fantasy go back. He actually has more receiving receptions but less yards. And speaking of Hines, him and Jordan Wilkins had a real nice game last week against Detroit. Wilkins came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, my God, this guy is really good. So they just have to get more out of the passing game there. Easier said than done against those Ravens. But on the defense, dude, they're super impressive. Matt Eberflus, formerly the linebacking coach of the Cowboys, his defense is playing awesome. They're giving up less than 80 yards on the ground a game, but so was Pittsburgh until Baltimore went off for almost 300 against them.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. But still under 20 points a game, 18 sacks on the year, and Dave, 8 players with at least 1 sack. And 7 players with at least 1 interception. So lots of different playmakers there. Yeah,
Autry
and Houston, dynamic defensive ends. And Darius Leonard, dude, who's been a little banged up, still had 9 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble last week. So plenty of playmakers on that defensive side of the ball. Can they slow that Ravens offense down? And can they create the type of turnovers that the Steelers did last week? Those are questions that will be answered on Sunday.
And certainly will have an influence on who can take away. That's a big game in the AFC right now. All right, Case, let's move it along. Up next, it's going to be the Chicago Bears at the Tennessee Titans. Titans at home favored by 5 with an over-under of 46.5.
Gosh, dude, both these teams coming off of disappointing losses last week. The Bears versus the Saints, it went into overtime. And God, dude, I want to get behind these Bears, but it's like that offense is so hard to get it moving. There's just not a lot of points to be had there.
Yep.
And Nick Foles, you know, is a little sloppy with the ball, man. He had an interception last week that really cost them, but it does seem like the team rallies around him, and they are forcing the ball to David Montgomery. They just really want to get this run game going, kind of patchwork up front with that offensive line, and they can't get consistency out of it. But as the schedule come down the stretch, he's got some nice matchups, but they really want to get him going. Allen Robinson last week was supposed to not play because he was in the concussion protocol, and he snapped out of that, dude. He had a huge game last week, and he's their go-to guy. Still can't find the compliment to him on the other side. Is it Miller? Is it Rookie Mooney? They have to get that number 2 position settled in. And Jimmy Graham, dude, he's got that resurgence, more of a red zone threat than down the field, but still a good weapon for these guys. And your guy Kmet from the Notre Dame is starting to make a few plays here, but this team is all about the defense. Obviously, Mack and Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, this might be the best linebacking crew in the NFL. So, but they're up against it, man. I don't want to see any of the frustration coming in because the offense isn't doing their job. Mm-hmm. If they can get a little bit out of the offense, this defense can take them to some pretty big heights. So hopefully – for Bears and Bears fans, they can get that together, man. A very interesting and brutal matchup, though, with these Titans.
Yeah, and it's not the best time to play the Titans after they dropped two in a row, losing in the division to Cincy and then to Pittsburgh. So pretty going to be pretty, you know, I don't want to say desperate, but, man, a team that's really wants to get back on the track and get a W out of this week. Tannehill has had a really nice season. His passer rating of 109.8 is fifth best in the NFL, and he's hitting at 67% completion. Not quite as amazing as he was last year, but still a pretty phenomenal, you know, run since he's become the starter for the Titans there. A.J. Brown, dude, I mean, this guy's a mismatch for defenses. He's going for his fifth game in a row with a touchdown, so... yeah, he is just something to for defenses to reckon with, dude. And Corey Davis, you know, he had his season high 8 catches last week and 128 yards, so he really came on. Another guy they like a lot is Jonnu Smith. He's got 5 touchdowns at tight end for the season, so that's pretty productive at the tight end position. But this team is a lot. Largely about Derrick Henry and running that football, especially as you get into the third and fourth quarter, dude. Henry leads the league in rushing with 775 at this point, so he's on his way for a pretty nice 1,500-yard season or whatever. And he's averaging 4.8 yards a carry, so he's getting pretty big chunks there with 8 touchdowns. Defensively, Casey, this defense is not that great in terms of yards and points. They're a little bit below average ranked-wise. They do sort of play timely defense. They seem to know when to make stops at the right time. They do have 12 takeaways, which gives the team plus 8 in the giveaway takeaway, which is a pretty nice margin there. So they're just, you know, they just play just enough defense to get it done. You know, they got great players with Clowney and Simmons, but Simmons leads the team in sacks, and he's just got 2 sacks. So they're not getting a ton.
Not good.
Not getting a ton of pressure on the quarterbacks. Jayon Brown, linebacker, he is a tackling machine. They've got good cover guys and Butler and Byard in the back. Just need to put it together and play a little more consistent football. All right, Casey, up next, it is the Seattle Seahawks at the Buffalo Bills. Seahawks are favored by 2.5 on this one, and the over-under is 54.
Yeah, dude. It's all about Russ, Dangerous. We talked about him last week. 26 TDs on the air. He's thrown 3 or more in 6 of 7 games. And, you know, 1 week it's Lockett. But DK, wow, this guy.
Monster.
This was your last chance to draft him, like, in the third or fourth rounds in your fantasy drafts. That's not going to be the case moving forward, dude. He had career highs last week. He's just so impressive and so unstoppable. Have a little issue at the running back position there. Carson's not going to practice until Friday, so they're going to see how it goes. So it's going to be a wait-and-see approach moving up to that. Definitely no Carlos Hyde this week. Travis Homer should be good to go, but they had to go with DJ Dallas last week, and he was pretty good. He scored a couple touchdowns, so there's some options there. But like I said, it's all about Russ. And Dave, flip it over, dude. Maybe there's a boom on the horizon, dude. Legion of Boom 2.0 coming at you, dude. A holdover from the first Legion of Boom, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
He was epic last week against San Francisco. 2 sacks, 4 hits on the quarterback, 11 tackles, 3 of which was for loss. And they're getting turnovers, dude. They're plus 7 on the year already. And we mentioned earlier, they're adding Carlos Dunlap from the Bengals. They're hoping to get Jamal Adams back this week. He's been practicing. And if he can go, he does a little bit of everything for them. They're not going to rush him, though, because where they're at record-wise. But, man, they would love to get him back. And all of a sudden, dude, this team is filling out. They thought they had one of the worst defenses going into the San Francisco game. It was anything but, dude. I always have a flashback. So if they get the defensive side worked out, watch out, dude. Seahawks, man, sky's the limit.
There you have it, folks. The boom is back. You heard it from Casey first.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Case. Let's take a look at this Buffalo squad they're going against. They had a nice win last week against New England where it got down to the wire there, and they were able to pull it out, making a big play on the defensive side of the football. But Josh Allen, you know, obviously he's more accurate than they thought he was, right? He's at 67%, so that's pretty dang good. He's also got a 102.4 passer rating, just 5 picks on the season. So with 16 touchdowns, he's having himself a nice season. Oh, and by the way, he's a pretty damn good runner, too. He had a rushing touchdown last week. He's really, getting it done for these Buffalo Bills. Running the ball, they have a decent tandem in Singletary and Moss. Singletary coming off an 86-yard performance last week, and Moss, 81 yards, a career high for him, and 2 scores. So Moss really came on last week. Catching the football for Josh Allen, it is Stephon Diggs as the primary dude, but he only has 3 touchdowns on the season. So you would expect him to have more scores than that at this point in the season. But he did have 6 catches and 92 yards last week. He is sort of their go-to guy and their deep threat. Cole Beasley, obviously you know him well, Casey. He's a real nice, nifty threat to move the chains there. And John Brown, dude, this guy's a mystery. They just can't get him going this season. Whether it's injuries or just bad performances, he only has 15 catches on the season. So a real disappointment for John Brown. But the future is bright. Who knows? But on the defensive side, they're pretty good. But they're actually a little bit below average against the run. And in this matchup, I think, you're playing a Seahawks team. If they can run the ball, they're going to try and do that on you. They love to play physical. And so the Bills defense is going to really have to, play stout and control that line of scrimmage, it seems like. And then obviously, like you said, it's all about Danger Russ. They got to figure out how to contain him somehow on the defensive side. We'll see what they can do.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, Dave, we got an awesome game, Sunday Night Football, NFC South, New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks are 4-point favorites, and the over is 54.5. And, it's just a little Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
Nice.
First, second, and all-time passing touchdowns in the league. I don't know why on Sunday night they kept showing Brees or passing Brady. It's like, dude, Brady's playing Monday night. So Brady's 561. Brees is at 560, so they might switch that back and forth. Depends on who's got the ball.
No doubt about it. And Brees is, of course, dipping off substantially. No, he's not, actually. Not at least statistically, at 73% passing on the season, approaching 2,000 yards, 13 TDs, and just 3 picks. His passer rating of 106.5 is one of the best in the league. But there are some issues, obviously, on this team. Michael Thomas is a mystery. He's been injured. He's been out. We don't know what his status is moving into this week. But he has 3 receptions, not in the second half of last week, not in the full game last week, not in the season. 3 receptions still sitting there at 3. So fantasy owners have got to be dumbfounded by that. But Emmanuel Sanders, he's on it's a double whammy. He's on COVID-19 and IR. So pick your poison there. He's not going to play. It's going to be Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris, and Jared Cook, the tight end. And he's always a weapon. He had a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
He's going for his 4th game in a row with a TD. So he's going to be leaned on if there's less options in the receiving game. But let's talk about the guy who's really driving this thing, where the engine really is, and that's Alvin Kamara. Both running and receiving, Kamara is a monster. 163 yards combined last week, and 9 grabs there, so 9 receptions. He has 55 receptions. That's 2nd in the NFL, not 2nd in running backs in the NFL, 2nd in receiving.
Wow.
So he is really putting up big numbers. Now, obviously, he's getting those little swing passes and stuff, so the yards accumulated isn't quite there, but 55 catches, dude. The other dude, Latavius Murray, he's a legitimate number 2 back and a little bit bigger body dude. So when Kamara needs a breather, you don't really, it's not like some disaster drop off there. Defensively, they are 7th in points per game scoring, but they give up. They're giving up 28.1 points a game. So they're almost giving up as many as they're scoring. It's damn close. So they have got to shore up that defense a little bit. They are 8th overall in total yards. And, you know, they've got playmakers. Cameron Jordan had a sack last week. Trey Hendrickson with a sack last week. Marshawn Lattimore, a pick last week. So they've got a lot of talent back there. They just need to kind of dial it in a little bit. And special teams-wise, I talked about Will Lutz before. He was perfect, Casey. He missed the point after last week. 23 of 23 for point afters. 15 out of 16 for field goals. I think any team would take that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dave, this is going to be a big matchup. The Saints won week one, and I might have felt a little different about this game had the Bucs lost to the Giants on Monday night, but they didn't. Danny Dimebags made sure of that. Obviously, Tom Brady, I'm not going to get into his stuff because we know. But Rojo and Leo, baby, those are the running backs. They've combined for over 750 yards and over 4.5 per carry, and they have 6 touchdowns. So Fournette being introduced into that mix makes that a great, great 1-2 punch. Receiving, Mike Evans had 5 for 55 and a TD on Monday Night Football. Gronk's had a TD in 3 straight, dude. 247 points is the most through 8 games in team history.
Wow.
And they had the second best point differential in the league at plus 82. Even with Godwin out, Dave, so many weapons. They're scoring 31 points a game. They don't need any more help, Dave. There's no way for this offense to get any better. There's no way.
They can't get any better.
Oh, wait. They're adding Antonio Brown.
Oh, wait a minute.
Tom Brady's roommate? Oh, you just got to be a roommate with Tom Brady and you make it to the NFL? Well, I guess that's bad news for opposing defenses. Aaron said he might play 10 plays. He might play 35 plays. Who knows? The point is this. I think he's going to play more than 10, and I think he's going to have a major impact on this game. But, Dave, this Bucs team is about that defense, dude. 65 points off of turnovers this season. That's second most in the league. And last week against the lowly Giants, the Bucs allowed 100 yards on the ground for the first time in the last 14 games, dude.
Wow.
But 101 yards, and it took players to make it happen. And this defense has an interception in 7 consecutive games and 11 on the year. So they're getting turnovers. Team has 28 sacks. That's second most in the NFL. Devin White has 5 in his last 3 games. And Ndamukong Suh has 4. But JPP has 6.5 sacks. That's tied for 4th most in the NFL, dude. So they're doing it up front. They're doing it up back. This defense is getting better. And, I think this team is getting poised to make a push. And also, they get that bye week 13, dude, a little
perfect
bit late.
Time, yeah.
So they're going to have to make a little run. This is a fascinating game, actually. The Bucs have to have it, being that they lost the first one to the Saints. So I'm very intrigued to see this game, dude.
Yeah, Bowles has got that defense playing exceptionally well right now. Man, they are tough.
Yeah, and aggressive. Oh, Dave, so many ways to check out the football dudes. This podcast, if you stumbled across it, guess what? You can subscribe to The Trend Zone on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or if you want to kick it old school, go to footballdudes.com. So much good information there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. For Dave, I'm Casey. We are out of here.